And here are some of the latest developments in the global coronavirus crisis. U.S. biotech giant Pfizer and German partner BioNTech are seeking approval to roll out their coronavirus vaccine early, a first step towards relief as surging infections prompt a return to shutdowns that traumatized nations and the global economy earlier this year. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration, or FDA, says its vaccines committee will meet on December 10th to discuss the request for emergency use authorization. Russia registers record numbers for daily infections and deaths from the coronavirus 2 days after having passed 2 million cases. Health officials reported over 24,800 new infections and 476 deaths, bringing the national total to over 2.6 million cases and more than 35,700 fatalities since the beginning of the year. Meantime, Russian President Vladimir Putin told G20 leaders on Saturday that Russia was ready to provide its Sputnik V coronavirus vaccine to other countries who need it. Russia is also preparing its second and third vaccine, Putin said, adding that the creation of a vaccine portfolio was a common goal. France is preparing to reopen stores for the crucial Christmas shopping season, encouraged by new data suggesting the country is past the worst of its second wave of infections. Thanks to curfews and partial lockdowns, confirmed new infections dropped by 40% last week. Admissions to hospitals fell by 13%, and the number of new intensive care patients was down by 9%. According to the National Health Agency. And U.S. President Donald Trump's eldest son, Donald Trump Jr., has tested positive for COVID-19 and is quarantining without symptoms. This is VOA News. Rockets have hit residential areas of the capital, Afghanistan, Kabul, killing at least 8 people and wounding over 30. This is what Afghan officials are saying. The attack happened an hour before a meeting between U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Taliban negotiators in the Qatari capital, Doha, in an effort to resume peace talks. The Islamic State group says it was behind the attacks. Earlier this week, the outgoing administration of U.S. President Donald Trump announced plans to withdraw 2,000 troops from Afghanistan by mid-January. The decision brought concern regarding the Afghan government's ability to deal with militants alone. Europe's aviation safety regulator believes the Boeing 737 MAX is safe after a lengthy safety review and expects to clear the aircraft for commercial flights in January, its top official said in remarks which were broadcast on Saturday. On Wednesday, the U.S. Federal Aviation Administration lifted a 20-month-old grounding order imposed after two fatal crashes that triggered cockpit design changes. U.S. commercial flights are due to resume in late December. The executive director of the European Union Aviation Safety Agency told the Paris Air Forum that his organization wanted to carry out a totally independent analysis of the safety of this aircraft, so they performed their own checks and flight tests. An American jailed in 1985 for spying for Israel was released from strict parole conditions, allowing his move to Israel. That word came from the Justice Department. Jonathan Pollard served 30 years for giving away classified U.S. documents. He was released from prison in 2015, but was confined to the U.S. by his parole terms. Israel has been applying pressure to allow him to leave. Pollard, 66, was a U.S. Navy intelligence analyst in the mid-1980s when he made contact with an Israel colonel in New York and began sending U.S. secrets to Israel in exchange for tens of thousands of dollars. He passed thousands of crucial U.S. documents to Israel, straining relations between the two allies. Declassified CIA documents released in 2012 indicated that a 1985 raid by Israel on the headquarters of the Palestinian Liberation Organization in Tunis was planned with Pollard's information. Some 60 people died in the attack. Pollard was arrested that year and was sentenced to prison 2 years later. After his release in 2015, he remained subject to a curfew, had to wear a wrist monitor, and was prohibited from working for any company that lacked U.S. government monitoring software on its computer systems. Via remote, Laurel Britton,